All right, so I'm talking on the first principle today, which is the inherent worth and dignity of every person. And I've been thinking a lot the last few years about dignity and worth of all. And I've really come to believe that recognizing and living this comes from one's own dignity and worth. And for me, that came kind of hard in the last few years. Thanks to some catalyzing events in the spring of 2019, I went into a pretty heavy depression. And I was in denial about it for a while. And it was a pretty high functioning depression. I don't think anybody at work had any idea that I was in that state. Because I never missed a day of work. And the events that caused it aren't known to most people there. But you know, it's okay. Like, I found a community. And so somewhere in that following 3 years, this version of that song that comes to mind for me is actually Whitney Houston singing that. She made it very popular in my teens. As I went looking for a version of it that I wanted to play here, I found this George Benson. He actually wrote the song and apparently it was pretty famous, but I didn't play the part of the video that shows the crowd's reaction to it starting. They were very happy to hear that song. That song came into my head and I hadn't heard it for years. And the question that always came to mind as that song, it's like, well, if that's the greatest love of all, why am I not feeling that? Like, learning to love yourself, if it's so easy, why don't I love myself? What can I do about that? So that's what I'm here for today, to share with you how I came to that sense of dignity, worth, and self-love for me. One of the first things that happened then, not long after that song popped into my head, was one of the podcasts that I was following at the time had an interview with Dr. Shauna Shapiro. She's a PhD researcher at the University of California in Los Angeles. She has a great TED talk that interview led me to. She also has a book called Good Morning, I Love You. And she specifically started researching mindfulness and how that can improve our lives, our health, and presence in the world. And specifically, she had a couple of teachers that her life journey led her to a Buddhist monk, a Buddhist temple in Thailand. And at the start, she didn't have anybody like. Everybody else spoke Thai. She didn't speak any Thai, but she sort of understood, let's just be present and be present to the breath. And she had a really hard time doing it until an English speaking monk came and told her that she really needed to just be present in her breath and learn to love herself. And it took her several years till another teacher then challenged her to just in the morning, as she woke up, put her hand on her heart and say, good morning, Shauna. And I love you. And she found that she could say the good morning part, but the I love you was really challenging. So a month later, she added that part in. So some 10, 15 years after that, she actually wrote this book, Good Morning, I Love You, and has since found that spread, that self-love spread into that more universal love. So I thought, wow, okay, that's easy enough. I can do that. I'll start that. So the next morning I started the practice of waking up as I wake up in bed in the morning, put my hand on my heart. Good morning, George. That's probably two and a half years ago now. And I can now look myself in the mirror and say, George, I love you. And for me to say that in front of all of you like this, yes, thank you. That's a big deal. So I don't know how many of you here have that challenge, but if you do, I highly recommend that practice. Another thing that's helped is I found along the way a thing called a compassion course. And I had known about nonviolent communication for probably 10 years. The way my mind worked before I found this was, I'll learn all these words that are nonviolent in the practice, and then I'm going to challenge other people to do it, which isn't really nonviolent, right? So, but this compassion course was started by a guy named Tom Bond. And he also started an organization called the New York Center for Nonviolent Communication. It's a year-long course and you get an email a week. And the way he put it together is that he got that nonviolent communication doesn't work unless you feel that nonviolence in yourself. We learn very early on the shoulds and shouldn'ts of the world, and the things we should do and shouldn't do and what's right and what's wrong. And that leads to a lot of judgments, and a lot of those get turned on us. It seems of certain generations. I don't know if it's happening so much for kids today. Well, I certainly see it in the stores and the schools. But fortunately for us as individuals, there is a way to get around this and the judgments. So the whole idea behind nonviolent communication is that everything we do to meet a need. And no one's saying this is true or not true. It's just a way of seeing things. So as we see that sort of need energy behind everything that we do, then it becomes easier to understand and have patience for people that do certain things. Even violent actions are done to meet a need. So maybe if somebody punches you in the nose, they're trying to meet their need for safety, communication, like having some boundaries. So in the practice of this course, it's very carefully planned to like bring needs, awareness of feelings and needs. There are lists of feelings and needs words. And one of the things that I've learned in that is we use a lot of language in our day-to-day speech that we say our feelings. I feel like, I feel judged, I feel abandoned, I feel crazy. Those aren't feeling words. What's really under that is I feel sad, I feel angry, I feel irked. They're actually, I didn't count them before I did the talk. I probably should have. There are probably 20 different words for anger, levels of anger. And one of the talks, part of the program also is there's a monthly Zoom meeting. And in one of those meetings, Tom was talking about anger and he talked about the levels of anger. It's like nettled to irked to irritated to outraged to enraged. And he kind of says, bop, 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 bop. Oh yeah, I know that path. That's familiar to me. So I've luckily found some groups that I can practice with on a regular basis, sort of doing this feeling, you know, people share what's going on for them. And then we practice reflecting that and feelings and needs. And that has helped a lot for me to get that kind of language in for myself. So if you're interested in that compassion course, just so happens it started at the end of June, but they just extended the sign up time to July 6th. So you can go to compassioncourse.org, sign up for that. And if anyone's interested in doing a group from our church, I'd be very interested in helping out with that. So that's been huge for me, just and really made that, taking it from a rules-based thing to, oh, this works for me. And this, when I have judgments, I can take those judgments and say, huh, what am I needing behind that? What is that? What is this about? What am I feeling? What am I missing here? And to slow down. If there's anything that I've heard, this is my third year taking the course now. So it's not a one and done. It's been going for probably, I think this is the 11th or 12th year. And Tom will tell you, he keeps learning as he's going. And there are lots of people in the course who've been doing it the whole time. But because it takes a while to learn that, to slow it down. And so one of the things that Tom says a lot is slow it down. And he has these wonderful illustrations of conversations where it's a page long, but it was a a 2-minute conversation. And one of those that comes to mind is he was talking to his father, who he had always interpreted as being very judgmental of his life. And so when he was starting this new business, a nonviolent communication center in New York, his father was very concerned that he had a business plan and that the business plan was written down and that everybody knows what's going on in the business plan and they have enough money. And so Tom tells a story of slowing down and listening for, well, what does my dad need here as he's telling me this? So instead of going to, oh, here we go again, he's laying into me about doing everything right. He's listening for, well, what is my dad really trying to do? What's the need? And so he came to, well, dad, are you concerned about me? And you want to be sure that I'm learning from your life experience so that I can have it easier than you did? Dad stopped for a second. I said, yeah, that's it. And so that just totally shifted. So here for 40 years, they'd been having these conflicts and Tom didn't really like being around his dad. And then for the first time, it changed that around. So I haven't done that with my parents yet, but maybe that's coming. So that's been really big for me. And another thing. So then along the way, I've been collecting little quotes, and one that really hit me that comes a lot. And there are a lot of talks that happen here that have helped in this. John Prescott has done his talks actually right after I heard Shauna Shapiro talk about that Good Morning thing. I think it was the next Sunday. Jonathan was here. This was before COVID hit. And he was talking about that, the Buddhist practices of learning self-love, like internalizing that meditation. And then that's meant to spread outward to the world. And so that really landed for me. So a lot of things come from here, but one that I wrote down that I want to share in particular, I was watching The Wrinkle in Time. And that was one of my favorite books from childhood. And then in 2018, Disney made a new version of the movie. And Oprah Winfrey, of all people, plays Mrs. Witch. And she says to Meg, "Do you realize how many events and choices had to occur since the birth of the universe, leading to the making of you just exactly the way you are?" Okay. Like, even if it's all an accident and didn't really, like, there isn't an intentional God up there making everything happen, so many things had to go just right for each one of us to be who we are today. Like that. I'm not getting in tears right now, but I did when I heard that in the movie. So I paused, I went back, and I wrote it down. So that, and that lands for me a lot in my personal philosophy and why I keep coming back here, and that principle of dignity and worth. All of us are the way we are and who we are. We've had the experiences we have to bring us to this moment, this place. And there's inherent dignity and worth in all of that. So I appreciate all of you coming here and sharing that here.